Greetings again, Lenten pilgrims. We're off to Jerusalem, and we are 25 episodes into that journey. Today is March 13th, a Saturday, and it's the 25th episode of our Lenten Daily Devotion. It's Pastor Bob coming to you from the broadcasting studios in the Parsonage in the heart of Arthur, Illinois, the House of Peace. And this morning or today, whenever you may be listening, we bring you some background music, some wonderful Chinese Zen healing flute music. How's that? Some water and flute. With a little saying in the title, it just says, stop overthinking. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Stop overthinking. I'll let you get a taste of this. Listen up. All right. You get that. You get the cerulean surf and sea candle. And you get this tea. Can you tell what that is? Here, I'll do it again. That's right. Someone out there. That's the bonsai green tea. Straight up. Just brewed this morning. Well, today, we're turning to Mary Alice Mulligan again. She's got wonderful scripture for us. Unique, but compelling. And then some insights. And then some thoughts for reflection. And we'll end with a little Rumi meditation. Little Rumi meditation I think you'll like. But let's begin with scripture. We're going to go to the book of Revelation. So when was the last time you were in the book of Revelation? That's a question. Book of Revelation. Let's go to chapter 4. She has verses 1 through 11, but that's the whole chapter. So we're going to read chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. If you just have a general sense of this book, you know, it kind of begins with the author sending these messages to seven churches, kind of telling each of them about what the next worldly realm can be like and where they lack in achieving that, kind of an assessment. I don't like to use the word judgment in the book of Revelation. I'm not sure that's what that is, but it's certainly a kind of an assessment of where they are and where they're lacking. And then you get to chapter 4. And chapter 4 is called, in my translation, the New Living Translation, Worship in Heaven. Worship in Heaven. So here's Revelation chapter 4, Worship in Heaven. Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I had heard before spoke to me with the sound of a mighty trumpet blast. The voice said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must happen after these things." And instantly I was in the Spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven, and someone sitting on it. The one sitting on the throne was as brilliant as gemstones, jasper and carnelian. And the glow of an emerald circled his throne like a rainbow. 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. And from the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven lampstands with burning flames. They are the seven spirits of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The first of these living beings had the form of a lion. The second looked like an ox. The third had a human face. And the fourth had the form of an eagle, with wings spread out as though in flight. Each of these living things had six wings, and their wings were covered with eyes, inside and out. Day after day, and night after night, they keep on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne, and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created." Some insights from Mary Alice Mulligan. She begins by saying, the Disney movie Fantasia. You know that movie? The Disney movie Fantasia uses the musical composition Night on Bald Mountain to underscore a heart-pounding scene of a mountainous, sinister figure drawing souls from graves as, quote, "all hell breaks loose," unquote. Souls dance and writhe in pain as fire envelops them until dawn. Then, Ave Maria begins a gentle procession of lighted souls heading to paradise. Bald Mountain is exciting. The lighted procession is relaxing, but it can easily get old. Preachers know that sin is always easier to describe than salvation. Revelation's image of heavenly creatures falling face down before the throne of God in praise raises our curiosity, but it is difficult to imagine our interest being held there for long. However, if we open ourselves to the magnificent goodness of God, we might actually understand the attraction of eternal worship. When people first fall in love, they endlessly bask in the presence and pleasure of each other. Parents stare in awe, and grandparents, by the way, as well. Parents and grandparents, there we go, stare in awe at the miracle of a sleeping newborn. Hours can pass without them noticing time at all. Maybe the Ave Maria artists were sadly just not very imaginative. Focusing on God should result, as Charles Wesley notes in the hymn, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling," in our becoming, quote, "lost in wonder, love, and praise," unquote. Some reflective questions that Mary Alice Mulligan poses. She says, or asks, can you write reasons for worship? Reactions to God's goodness and love? Can you write reasons for worship? Reactions to God's goodness and love? Have you received God's mercy? think of the glory of creation. Can you thank God for the crocuses that indefatigably push up every spring, even when a late freeze comes? Have you heard a bird sing today? Did you see the sun? Or listen to the rain today? Are the days getting longer? That's her last question. And you can say, absolutely. For tonight, I spring forward my clock 1 hour. And we gain an hour of daylight on the Sabbath. Amen. Don't forget to spring forward your clock. All right, a little roomy before we end today with a prayer. All righty, let me get this out here. This is called Religious Controversy. That's right, written in the 13th century. Religious Controversy. And here Rumi speaks to the approach in many religions of doctrines that claim to know it all and have all the answers. They were just as prevalent then as they are now. So let's hear what Rumi shares with us about religious controversy. These 72 sects will remain till the resurrection. The heretics' talk and argument will not fail. The number of locks upon a treasure are the proof of its high value. The long windings of the way, its mountain passes, and the brigands infesting it announce the greatness of the traveler's goal. Every false doctrine resembles a mountain pass, a precipice, and a brigand. The blind religious are in a dilemma, for the champions on either side stand firm. Each party is delighted with its own path. Love alone can end their quarrel. Love alone comes to the rescue when you cry for help against their arguments. Eloquence is dumbfounded by love. It dare not engage in altercation. The lover fears to answer back, lest the mystic pearl drop from his mouth. 'Tis as though a marvelous bird perched on your head, and your soul trembled for fear of its flitting. You dare not move or breathe. You suppress a cough, lest the phoenix should fly away. And if anyone speak, you lay a finger on your lip, meaning hush. Love is like that bird. It makes you silent. It puts the lid on the boiling kettle. Religious Controversy by Rumi. These 72 sects will remain till the resurrection. The heretics' talk and the argument will not fail. The number of locks upon a treasure are the proof of its high value. The long windings of the way, its mountain passes, and the brigands infesting it announce the greatness of the traveler's goal. Every false doctrine resembles a mountain pass, a precipice, and a brigand. The blind religious are in a dilemma, for the champions on either side stand firm. Each party is delighted with its own path. Love alone can end their quarrel. Love alone comes to the rescue when you cry for help against their arguments. Eloquence is dumbfounded by love. It dare not engage in altercation. The lover fears to answer back, lest the mystic pearl drop from his mouth. 'Tis as though a marvelous bird perched on your head, and your soul trembled for fear of its flitting. You dare not move or breathe. You suppress a cough, lest the phoenix should fly away. And if anyone speak, you lay a finger on your lip, meaning, hush. Love is like that bird. It makes you silent. It puts the lid on the boiling kettle. Let us pray. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.